So the title of the message today is something to look forward to. And at the back end of last year, and I'm not sure if everyone here was the last service of 2024, and Pastor Paul brought out a prophetic word, and I'm not sure if anyone remembers it, but God said to look forward, don't look back, God is in your future. And God wants us to look forward, amen, because he has a plan. And, you know, when God speaks, we need to take note. When that prophetic word goes out, you know, that's the time when God's speaking to us and he's encouraging us. You know, the word is there to exalt us, to encourage us, to keep going, amen? And that prophetic word was for us to look forward, not to look back, but to look to God, because he is the one that's in our future. And, you know, God began to lay a couple of things on my heart. And this was before even Pastor Paul said, you know, I want you to speak. And it was only the next week after he goes, oh, you know, I want you to speak. And I said, okay. And, you know, so I sort of knew that God was preparing my heart. And so I'm just going to share what God has given me today. And I believe that you'll be blessed by it. So I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Book of Jeremiah 29, very, very famous scripture. And Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, and I'm going to read from the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan, amen? Turn to the person next to you and tell them that God has a plan. And if you're not sitting next to one, God's got a plan. He's got a plan, you know, and as a believer, you know, our hope is firmly anchored in his word, amen, and in God and his word, amen, and you can trust that God's promises, that they're good, amen, but not only are they good, they're also obtainable in your life and my life, amen. This is the hope that gives us the solid foundation on which we build our life, even in the midst of adversity, you know. And Paul was just talking about Matt, you know, there's adversity that comes in our life, but you know, there's also a hope, you know, there's a plan, you know, plans to give you hope. You know, we're not, the world feels hopeless, but we have a hope in God, amen. And we don't look to the things of this world, but we look to him, because he's got a plan, and that's the plan that God wants us to begin to follow, amen. And that plan is for each and every one here. There's not one person here that God doesn't have a plan for, you know. He's got a plan, and that's something that we need to hold on to, amen. You know, be anchored in that knowing that he's got a plan for our life, and that, you know, as we search him, we can search out what the plans and the purposes are for our life. Now I want you to go to the book Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to read this also in the Amplified, because it just expands it and gives us a better understanding of what God's saying here. He said, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do these good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we would walk in them, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and he made available for us to live. You know, so he says that he's prepared a path He's already prepared a path for each and every one of us individually. And it says something interesting here, and it says we should walk in them. He's prepared a path. Before you were even born, he'd created the plan and the purpose for your life. He created that path for you. And it says that it is for a good life. Amen. It's for a good life, and that path we should walk in it. But it's interesting that he said that we should walk in it. That means we've got a choice. God's given each and every one of us here a choice. He's given us freedom. And, you know, God won't manipulate that. He won't force you. He won't push you into that plan. We've got to search out for it ourselves, amen. And that's the freedom that God has given to us, is so we can walk in that path that he's prepared. And you can take your own path. And if you do take your own path, it generally doesn't end well. And I've tried that, and it doesn't work. Tried it many times. I've done things. I've gone ahead of God and thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to go this way. And God said, no, I want you to go that way. And, you know, I know one time there was this job I went for. And, you know, I didn't ask God, didn't seek God. And going, you know, is this the right path for me to take? I just went ahead and did it. Got the job, thought, great, fantastic, you know, more money, all that sort of stuff. But that wasn't the path God had set me on. And I can tell you, I was only in that job for 3 months, but for that 3 months, it was like being in hell. You know, I had all this opposition and everything like that. And, you know, and I remember saying to God, what is going on? He goes, did you ask me? You know, that's not the path that I asked you to go on. You went on your own course. You know, so I had to repent of that. And, you know, God's a faithful God. You know, his mercies are new every morning. And, you know, I was able to, you know, God opened up a door to another job. And, I must admit, I am blessed. So, you know, we sometimes think God's punishing us, but sometimes we choose our own way. And, you know, that's not the path that God had set for us, you know. And so our purpose is to know Jesus and to know his word and get to know him. And when you make that your purpose in life, and this is where the word of God begins to change our hearts. You know, when we're in this book, that word begins to change our heart. It begins to change, you know, the way we see. We begin to have a sense of direction of where God is leading us, amen, when we're in this book. But when we're not in this book, you know, as I said, things can go wrong. And, you know, but when you begin to get in this word and you begin to search out his truths you begin to recognise, and it says in John chapter 10 of verse 3, he says, he'll guide you by name. He said he'll guide you by name. Amen. Nobody here has the same path, but yet he's prepared it ahead of time. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Starting at verse 13, I am going to read from the Amplified, so it might be a little bit different. Psalm 139 and verse 13, it says, "For you were formed in my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and skillfully formed as if embroidered with many colours in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand when I awake and I am still with you." You know, how mindful is God of us? You know, when people say there isn't a God, you read these verses of scriptures. You know, he goes, I intricately and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Amen. You know, and in your book were all written the days appointed me. The days are appointed. God's appointed the days. You know, even Matt, his days are appointed. That's not his end date. You know, God's not going to say, oh, well, you know, he's got a heart condition, you know, well, I'll just bring him home. That's not God's plan for Matt. You know, his days are appointed, amen? You know, but as Pastor Paul said, you know, there comes opposition and, you know, we begin to fight against that, but we can fight the good fight of faith, amen? Because he knows us intimately, God wants us to look forward to him, amen? But not only to look forward, as I said in that prophetic word, because faith without action is dead works, but God wants us to move forward, amen? God wants us to move forward. And, you know, if spiritually, physically, financially, in the last 12 months, if you're still in the same position, that's not God's best for your life. That's not God's best. But that's not God's fault. Because as Pastor Paul would say, there's nothing wrong with the supply chain of heaven. Amen? And, you know, sometimes we've got to look at our lives and think, well, you know, why is that, you know? But there is a fight that goes on. You know, as I said, there's a good fight of faith. And if we're going to overcome the challenges and receive all that God has for us, we need to be carefully instructed by his word, amen? You know, we need to carefully follow this book and begin to search out what it is that God wants you to do. And he has a plan, amen? So I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at Paul here. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and starting at verse 12, and I am going to read from the NLT. So, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on the one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The question I have today, what is your future? What is your future? Are you looking ahead? Are you looking ahead or are you looking back? Paul says, forgetting the past and looking forward. He says, I focus on one thing. So a lot of people don't know what their future is because they're always looking backwards. They're always looking at the past. But the Bible says that you're a new creation in him. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things are being made new. Amen. You know, we all have a past. But God doesn't want us to focus on the past. He wants us to look forward. He wants us to look into this word and see what the promises that he has for you and me. Amen? You know, do you want everything that God has for you? You know, if so, notice the first key here is focus. You know, and that's not just a now word. It's a mandate. God wants us to focus. He wants us to remain focused on him and his word and his promises and not looking at the past, amen? You know, you don't focus on the past. You don't even focus on where you are right now because you haven't got the revelation as to where God has taken you. You know, if you begin to look at where you are right now, you wouldn't go anywhere because, you know, you only believe what you believe now. But as you begin to look into this book begins to propel you forward, amen? It begins to take you in to areas that you wouldn't even dream of, you know? And I know for myself, I've never had a desire to be up the front. No desire whatsoever. And I remember, it'll be over 20 years ago now, and I remember we'd just got the previous church I was in, I remember we just started going there. And the pastor's wife come up to me one day and she goes, you're going to be a teacher of the word. And I remember going home that night and I remember saying to Rita, I said, do you think what she said is true? And, you know, you start going, well, I've got no desire to be up the front and, you know, be preaching to people and teaching people and all that. But God has a plan. God has a plan, amen. And, you know, it wasn't straight away. I didn't get up there straight away. It wasn't like next week I got up there. You know, because I was naturally a shy person. Didn't like talking to people. And, you know, I'm in sales now. That's a miracle of God. That is a miracle of God. You know, God's got a sense of humour. I can tell you now, he's got a sense of humour. And, you know, I'm sure Pastor Paul's mentioned this. He uses your job as your training ground. And I remember I got a prophetic word and, you know, I was just working in a warehouse. I was a warehouse manager and all that. And I got this prophetic word and it said, if you were in sales, you'd be deadly. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, I can receive that. But there was one problem, fear. One problem, fear. I've got to go and talk to people now. I don't like talking to people, you know. But I had to get in to this word in order to see change in my life. Because I can tell you, I would be, because I had to do cold calling. Now, Russell will know what I'm talking about. You know, you have to go and knock on doors and try and win business. And, you know, I would sometimes pull up out the front of a business, holding onto the steering wheel, my knuckles would be white, going, Darren, no weapon formed against me can prosper. You know, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You know, and I would sit in the car for 10 or 15 minutes, and this fear was real. It was stopping me from going forward. But as I begin to keep declaring the word that no weapon formed against me can prosper, you know what? A boldness come inside, and I had to go forward. And it was only the word that caused me to going forward and to come into the reality and the path that God has set for me. Amen. And you know, and I remember one day, you know, I started knocking on doors, and you know, and this doesn't happen. But God was encouraging me. I got three accounts, one after another. You know, now that just doesn't happen. Russell will be a testament, but God, you know. And it was only because I began to read the word and what God said about me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, amen. And that he had a plan, you know. I know the plans for you, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, amen. So, you know, we've got to begin to hold on to these truths that are in this book. And when you begin to hold on to those truths, it propels you into your future, amen? And as I said, you don't focus on the past. You don't even focus on where you are now because you don't have that revelation. You focus on where you're going, amen? And God wants you looking forward. You don't have to turn here, but the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Amen. We can do all things, not some, all. Amen. What are you willing to dream? What are you willing to dream? What do you believe about your future, about yourself, about Christ in you? You know, how do you see yourself? Amen. Forget the things which are behind. What was the prophetic word? Look forward. Don't look back. God is in your future. Amen. God wants us to look forward. He wants us to look to him. It's never God's will for you to retreat or turn back. You know, he has a divine plan and there will always be opposition. There will always be opposition and there will be challenges. God never said that, you know, you'd commit your life to him and, you know, life will be a bed of roses. There's always going to be opposition. There's an enemy out there that is contending, that doesn't want you to know the truths that are in this book. Amen? God doesn't want you to quit and miss out on all the good things that he has planned. And the second thing here, and twice it says here in the book of Philippians chapter 3, it says that I press on. Twice here we read that he says that I press on. But I press on to possess the perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And then further down in verse 13, he says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive. And I was looking up the definition of the word press, and it says a state of being persistent, to be urgent or demanding, compelling action for oneself, to engage in a relentless manner for a certain cause, to make a strenuous effort to achieve something of great importance, to earnestly endure, and to hold fast without wavering or compromising. And that's what Paul did. He had a no-quit faith. Now, he was the first person who had the right to say, that's it, I've had enough. Because all the persecution and everything that he went through, he went through more than all of us will ever go through. Amen? And that is the attitude that we need to go through. Regardless of hardships, persecutions, betrayals, we must have that attitude that we truly desire to see the fulfillment of the promises in our life. But how much do we want them? How much do we want that to come to pass in our life? How much are we willing to see change come in our life? Amen. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, and you don't have to turn there. And I'm going to read from the Amplified. And it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and the violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion." You know, once you're convinced that what God says is true, we have to have that ardent zeal. Like I said before, when I was in that car and that fear that was trying to grip me, it was trying to hold me back, it was trying to stop me, you know, there has to be that ardent zeal. There has to be that intense exertion, to press on and to begin to see these promises. Because the enemy isn't going to give up, without a fight. Amen? But as we begin to stand our ground, we don't give up and we take possession of it. You know, if God says I can have it, I'm not giving up until he says I can have it. Amen? If it is healing in your body, you hold fast to that promise. The Bible says that by your stripes we were healed. Amen? We've been redeemed from the curse. We're not under the curse. Sickness is illegal in our body. Lack is illegal because we've been redeemed from it. We've been redeemed from poverty. Spiritual death, that's why I said before, if you look back at your life over the last 12 months and you haven't been going forward, that's not God's best. But you've been redeemed from that. You've been redeemed from all of those things, amen? But brother, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand all the things that are going on in my life. But we begin to focus on the wrong things. When we begin to focus on the issues and the problems, yes, and when you're going through sickness, it's hard. It can be hard. It can be hard, but God wants us to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. He wants us to just stand firm. Amen. The Bible says in James 4:17, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll flee. We just got to resist him. Once the devil knows that you mean business, he's going to flee. Amen. But if you're there and you're going, my back's giving me grief and all that, that's like, oh, good, I can go after him. And I remember a time just before I come into this church. Actually, I was meant to come here, I think it would be, I'm trying to think how long we've been coming here. It'd be at least a couple of years. But I remember Russell invited me the week before and I said, yeah, I'll come. Well, that Sunday morning, my back seized up. Well, actually, I woke up in the morning and my back was a little bit sore. And I thought, that's okay. Within 2 hours, I couldn't even walk. And I was bedridden for a week, and I could hardly move. And I started declaring the promises of God on healing and all that. But while you're going through that, it's difficult. And to hold on to that promise, to see it to come to fulfillment in your life, there's a real fight that has to go on. We have to resist the enemy, and then he'll flee. And it was the fight of faith. Amen. Because I've never experienced back pain like it, and I'm never going to experience it again. Amen. You know, so it's not the time to quit, amen. You know, when we're going through that battle, that challenge in our life, amen, we need to look forward to his promises. And God would never expect us to be persistent if it weren't possible. Amen. Because as I said before, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. You know, and when it says resist the devil and flee, in other words, he's saying, stand your ground, don't waver. How persistent are you in doing this? Amen. You know, we've got to be persistent. You know, as I said before, Paul says, you know, that he pressed on. He just kept pushing forward regardless of what was going on and all the persecution and everything that he experienced in his life. He was able to hold on to the promises that God had for him. Amen. Now, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Book of Romans, chapter 15, just a little bit back. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. And this is why we need to be in this book, because he's given us the scriptures to give us hope. Because what's the opposite of hope? Hopelessness. There's no hopelessness in God. We've always got a hope. You know, it's an anchor to our soul. Amen. You know, and we can hold on to those promises. And this book is an example. This is our spiritual GPS in going forward. Amen. And not to look back, because he only wants us to look forward. Amen. That's why we need this. All right, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and God sending the rains. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'm going to read from the New King James. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and starting at verse 9. And therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, we can persevere knowing that God is a faithful God. And I want us to declare today that my God is a faithful God. Amen? I want you to speak it out. I want you to declare it, that my God is a faithful God. You know? Amen? My God is a faithful God. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? He's a faithful God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. You know, if you believe God is faithful, then you don't stop expecting him to bring those promises to pass in your life. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20, you don't have to turn there, says, in all his promises, in him a yes, and in him amen. You know, and the Hebrew word amen translated means yes, or it's true. You know, so when you hear a truth, when someone's up here is speaking, when you hear something and it's like, yes, you know, something hits your spirit and you go, yes, that's for me. Just say yes, amen, because it's truth. And God, when something hits you in the spirit, that's God speaking to you. He wants you to grab on to a truth so that it can bring you forward, amen? And he wants you to continue to keep moving forward in those promises, amen? Because they are yes and amen. And the people that never turn back are the ones that experience God doing great miracles. And we're going to go and look at that in the book of Exodus 3, amen? So let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. And another very famous story, which you've probably all heard, but it's always good to hear it again. Amen. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And starting at verse 16, I'm going to read from the NIV. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and you have seen what you have done in Egypt. and I have promised to bring you up out of the misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, and here God is telling Moses, gather all the leaders around and I'm going to lead you into the promised land. He's going to lead them into the land flowing with milk and honey. But between the promise, there's a journey that the Israelites have to take. And this journey is a bit like our walk with God. You know, there's a journey that we go on, and God wants us to go forward, amen? But God has promised them, if they followed his lead, that he would lead them into a land with flowing with milk and honey. Now, when God says he's going to do something, we know we just come from a series, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We know that he's a God who doesn't lie. So we know that these promises that are in this book, or if God has spoken to you and said he's going to do something, you know they're going to come to pass, because he's a God who doesn't lie. Amen? And now the promises in the book are for each and every one of us. But there will be a contention, and Pastor Paul was talking about that just before he got. He must have read my notes. But, you know, there will be a contention to try and stop you from fulfilling the path that God has set for you. Amen. So let's go to Exodus chapter 14. So we just go a few pages ahead, Exodus chapter 14. And let's look at this. Exodus 14, and we'll start at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we were told in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Verse 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And, you know, here we read, you got Pharaoh's army beginning to chase the Israelites. And they get to a situation where they get to the Red Sea. Can't go back. Can't go left, can't go right. God says go forward. God says go forward. And, you know, the enemy is behind them. And God says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Go forward. Tell the children of Israel, go forward. No, there was no boats, there was no bridges, and they couldn't swim across. So they had to trust God. But God said, go forward. And then God did something he'd never done before. And let's keep reading. Verse 16. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain glory over Pharaoh and over all his army and chariots and his horsemen. And then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came before the camp of the Egyptians, the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and a darkness to one. And it gave light by night to the other, so that the other one did not come near the other all that night. And what a miracle. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, and so they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians." And verse 26, "And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on the chariots and on the horsemen.' And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing in it. And so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so that people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." The unexpected happened was when what did they do? They went forward. When they went forward, the unexpected happened. You know, God parted the seas and they were able to cross over on dry land, exactly as he promised Moses, that he said what he would do. You know, and the Israelites had to believe. They had no other option but to go forward. And that is the only option for us, is to go forward. We're not to go back, amen? We're not to draw back. The Bible says that he has no pleasure in the servant that draws back, amen? Perhaps you're waiting to see God's promise in your life. I can tell you that God has things for you. The promises of his are yes and amen. They're not behind you. They're not off to the side, amen? They're waiting for you. They're not waiting for you to chase it down. They're in front of you. The promises are in front of you. You know, to begin with, the Israelites were deceived in their thinking because, you know, they were complaining to Moses. You know, did you bring us out here to die? You know, they were looking back. They kept looking back. When you look back, you're not moving forward. While you're looking in your rear vision mirror, you're not going forward. Amen? God doesn't want you to look back because, as I said before, you're a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have been made new. Amen? God split the Red Sea for them to cross over on dry ground. And then in verse 31 there it says, Israel saw the great work that the Lord had done. Amen? You know, God wants you to see the great work that he wants to do in your life. Amen? People who keep going forward are destined to see something great in their lives. Those who trust in him, no matter how impossible the situation. Could you imagine getting to the Red Sea and God's going, "Go forward"? You know, that is a level of trust that God is expecting. But we can do it because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And you don't have to turn here, but Job 5:9 says, "And he does great things too marvellous to understand. He performs countless miracles." You know, if you're willing to keep going forward, God will surprise you in more ways than you can think. In fact, in Ephesians 3:20, and again, you don't have to turn there, he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, amen? According to the purpose, to his purpose, amen? That's his purpose. So we can do exceedingly abundantly. Who would have thought that the Red Sea would have split, that they would go over on dry ground? No one but God. But God. And when we trust God to that level, we can keep moving forward no matter what the circumstances say. Amen? And this is why we always need to keep an eye on him and obey his word. There's no limit to the ways God can come through in our life. God is wanting you to expect the unexpected in your life. Amen. What happened when the children of Israel obeyed God's instruction to go forward? God parted the Red Sea and destroyed the army trying to attack them. God brought about a miraculous victory in their life. And God wants to bring a miraculous victory in your life. I don't know what it is you're going through, but I know God laid it on my heart. You know, when Pastor Paul brought that message, you know, go forward, don't look back. God is in your future. You know, God wants to encourage you today to continue to keep moving forward. You know, if you're obedient to go forward, it'll cause a chain reaction and miracles in your life. Amen. Because it's interesting, if you read the rest of the story, even after that, you would think after what God had done there, you'd just go, God, you can do anything. But you know what? They went on a little bit further, and then all of a sudden they were thirsty. And they started complaining to Moses again. He's going, we're thirsty. You know, did you bring us out here to die? Again, they started looking back. They go, it would have been better for us to go and die back in Egypt. You know, they kept looking back. You know, and, you know, miracle after miracle. You know, he split the rock and water come out and, you know, and filled their thirst. You know, he gave them quail to eat. You know, actually, me and Russell talk about this, and so, quails aren't very big. I've never tried it, but they're not very big. So it would have been a lot of quail that God had to provide. You know, so time after time, God kept proving himself to them. He kept doing the miracles, but they kept looking back, amen? And God doesn't want us to look back. But when we trust God and, you know, we see a miracle, it sets off a chain reaction of more miracles to come in your life, amen? And there were times when the Israelites lacked faith and trust in God, and they kept on complaining. We'll go to Psalm 78 and we'll look at this. Psalm 78. And I hope you're getting something out of this. Psalm 78 and starting at verse 19. And they spoke against God and they said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly, but can he also give us bread? And can he supply meat for his people? You know, they allowed their minds to become overwhelmed by their problems. You know, they were thirsty. They were hungry. You know, and they kept looking back and going, well, you know, it would have been better if we just died in Egypt and let the Pharaoh army get us. You know, no matter how big or how impossible the problem is, don't let that happen to you. Don't let the enemy distract you in thinking that the problem is too big for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? Nothing is too hard. Instead, stay focused on his promises. Stay focused on the miracle power. Don't draw back. Refuse to give in to discouragement. You know, when you're discouraged, you draw back. God doesn't want you to draw back. He wants you to go forward. Amen? There are some things which we will never accomplish in the natural. It takes a divine hand of God to lead us through. It always takes God to bring about the victory. And I want us to go to the book of John, and I want to look at this story here. Book of John, chapter 5. And again, we've all heard this story, but again, it's good for us to have our eyes on the Word and see what the Spirit of God is speaking. Amen. John chapter 5, and beginning at verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. You know, interesting here, this man had a desire to be made whole. He had a desire, you know, like, but he had no way. Amen. His limited thinking, there was no way. Like, because, you know, you had to be the first one to get down into the pool to be made whole. So he had a desire to get well. But his natural thinking was, well, I've got no one. And so he'd been in this condition for 38 years. But notice Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" And then, you know, and then he responded, "I've got no one." You know, sometimes mindsets need to be broken. Sometimes we think one way, but God's got another way. Because the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? And, you know, this man only had one way of thinking. He was like, well, the only way I'm going to be made whole is if I get in that pool, but I can never get in there first. But Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? But notice the next thing that Jesus said to him. He said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." You know, Jesus was asking him to do something he hadn't been able to do for 38 years. Amen. Being paralyzed, it seemed impossible. Amen. And at that moment, Jesus challenged the man to believe him for the impossible. Amen. Jesus was guiding him in his faith towards being made whole. He was drawing him towards the response of faith. He was drawing him forward to the response of faith. He was drawing him to that place of the impossible. The thing, 38 years this man had been paralyzed, being unable to walk. You know, could you imagine you had that condition, haven't been able to walk for 38 years, and Jesus says, "Rise, get up and walk, take your bed." You know, I'll paraphrase this. I'll be going, "Jesus, are you serious? I haven't been able to walk for 38 years. My legs don't work. How am I meant to get up and walk?" But God was leading him on the inside. He was leading him by faith on the inside. He was telling him to rise on the inside. Begin to see the picture of yourself walking. Begin to seeing the picture of yourself whole and walking and going forward. Amen? That's what Jesus was doing. He was getting him to rise on the inside. Notice the other thing here, and it's really interesting. I only noticed this when I was studying it. He didn't say anything. He just got up. I probably would have said, "Yeah, but I can't. My legs don't work." But he didn't say anything. He just got up. When you obey the word, and by faith, you'll see the miracle in your life. Amen. You'll begin to see the miracle in your life. And that is the key. As we follow his word and obey his word by faith, this will cause us not only to look forward, but it will draw us on a path to destiny. Amen. Prepared ahead of time. Now, I want us to go to the book of Genesis chapter 26. And we're getting to the end here. Genesis chapter 26. And starting at verse 12. Genesis 26 and verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward until he became very great." So we see here that Isaac sowed in the land and received 100-fold in the same year. Amen? And it said the Lord blessed him. And you've got to remember, this was in the midst of a drought, you know, and we've been hearing, you know, different things in the media, you know, like especially with Donald Trump over in America, and he's slapping on these tariffs and they're going, you know, the economy's going to go down, you know, countries are going to go into recession. This didn't stop God. You know, we live in God's economy, amen. We don't live in this world economy, amen. We trust in God's economy, and you can never outgive God. I can tell you that right now, amen. But it goes further in verse 13, and it says, "And the man waxed great. He went forward and grew until he became very great," amen. So Isaac wasn't just happy with being blessed. The Bible says he went forward and he became very great. God wants to make you very great. Amen. He doesn't want you just blessed. He wants to make you very great. You know, Isaac went from blessing to greatness, and then he went forward and he went beyond greatness. Amen. You know, because he obeyed God. He understood the principles of sowing and reaping. Amen. You know, and there was a famine in the land. You know, do you want to go from blessing to greatness? You know, then move forward. God wants you to move forward. And how do we do that? You know, I've been saying, how do we, you know, God wants you to move forward. You're all asking, how do we do it? How do we move forward? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And I am going to read from the Amplified. Actually, I'll read from the NIV first, and then I'll read the Amplified. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In the Amplified, it says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And these things will be given to you also." The Bible says if you're not experiencing his best, in Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 it says, consider your ways, you know, consider your ways, amen. He wants us to look on the inside, begin to examine our hearts and going, God, am I doing everything that's required of me? You know, have you asked me to do something and I'm not obeying? Because God wants to bring you forward. You know, he's not there to punishment, because as I said before, you know, he's got a good plan, amen, to prosper you and to not harm you, amen. So, you know, God's not out there with a stick and wanting to whack people over the head with. He's wanting you to move forward, amen. And it's doing things your way and not God's way that keeps you from enjoying everything that God has for you. In Proverbs, and you don't have to turn there, Proverbs 12:15, it reveals, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Don't be foolish. Learn to do things his way," amen. And, you know, I was thinking also of the story of Abraham's father, Terah. God had told him to go to the land of Canaan. And, you know, he took Abraham and his nephew Lot and all that. And they set out and they reached a city called Haran. And the Bible says he settled there. You know, God's saying, have you settled? Have you started the journey and then you've settled? God wants you to keep moving forward, amen. God wants you to keep moving. He doesn't want you to settle. He has so much more for each and every one of you here today, amen. So much more. So much more for you, your family, this church. You know, like this church is, I believe, 10 years old this year. You know, look what God's done in 10 years, you know. It's been going forward because this man is faithful to his word and his promises, and he holds on to them. You know, we just come off the series, Trust in the Lord with All Your Heart and Lean Not on Your Own Understanding. God's desire is for you to experience his best in your life. You know, Paul tells us that after we become born again and receive the nature of God, that we also now have the access to the mind of Christ. You know, we can have the mind of Christ, amen? And this means you can now think as he thinks and do the things the way that he does them, amen, which obviously puts you in the position to go forward and experience his best. Amen. And Paul also says that as you continue in the process of renewing your mind, that you will then be in the perfect will of God. Amen. I want to be in the perfect will of God. I'm sure everyone here wants to be in the perfect will of God. And Jesus instructs us in Matthew 11:22, have faith in God. Amen. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. That's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You know, the life that pleases God is a life that totally trusts him and his word, amen. And no other evidence is needed other than what he said in this book, amen. So let's pray.